Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is how confident I am in Shane Duffy being a successful Celtic. This is how confident I am. Just cannot for the life of me see Shane Duffy failing at Celtic.
Absolutely delighted to get the big man in.
Shane Duffy is exactly the sort of calibre of defender that we've been trying out for.
A great signing for Celtic, got him in, and it's exactly what we need back there.
It represents probably the lowest level of gamble that Celtic can possibly afford to bring in.
Shane Duffy coming in, he just brings the standards up that wee bit higher as well.
Shane Duffy, I cannot see him for a single second being at all daunted or put off by anything he's going to come up against in Scotland.
Is Shane Duffy an improvement on Jozo Samorovic? I'll leave that up to the listeners to decide, but I think we all know the answer.
Exactly, Nelly, it's the ideal signing.
I don't see how Shane Duffy fails at Celtic.
Absolutely delighted to get the big man in.
Episode 259 of the 20 Minute Tim's flagship podcast, and you all fucking know who we are, in the words of Stephen just before we turn the mics on. I'm your host, Jamie. I'm joined by Stephen.
Yes, absolutely delighted to be here.
And Martin Melly.
Yes, also delighted to be here.
And for the first time, guys, all season, we can begin this podcast with some good news. It's over. The pain is over. The season is over. It's done. It is complete. And it was wrapped up in wonderful style. This weekend, 11 men employed by Celtic Football Club took to a pitch in Edinburgh just to play out 90 minutes of association football that resulted in 0 goals against Hibs. And that is how I would sum up that match. As perfunctory as that, the miserable, stinking bookend, Stephen, to a season that promised so much.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like I say this every week now, but there could be nothing more fitting for this season than a nothing each draw in which Celtic created a load of chances, didn't score any, and then came away with even further behind the runaway champions Rangers. But was that 25 points eventually was in the end up? Gee, I mean, that's woeful. I remember being gutted back then when Dick Advocaat was the manager, because he was in a story in the paper or something like that where he claimed to have bumped into a load of Celtic fans in public. And it wasn't in the Brendan Rodgers way, where apparently all the Celtic fans went up and thanked him for changing Scottish football and all that. Remember that part of Rodgers? It was quite the opposite. The Celtic fans were giving him pelters in the street, and he just clamped them by chanting 21 at them. 21, 21. That was a bit of a count from Sesame Street there, rather than Dick Advocaat.
But Sesame Street. Was it racist?
That was his battle, though, because they had romped to the league by 21 points the season before Martin O'Neill came in. This is 25, guys. 25. More than 20 years on.
Well, more than 20 years on, Stephen. It's 77 points in total. Our worst points total since John Barnes, that famous season before Martin O'Neill came in. Melly, you were on the Reaction podcast, which is something we've been doing this season, obviously, on Patreon. You were on and you made a point about, when was the last time Celtic beat Hibs at Easter Road?
I think I said it was 2014 in the league. They haven't beat them in so long. Hibs were out of the league for a few years after all, but we beat them in the cup when Rodgers just left in the quarterfinals, I think it was, but we haven't beat them in the league for a long, long time. And again, at the weekend, it's the old bogey ground.
It's a bogey ground. It's a bogey season. It was, in many ways, Stephen, as you said, we've had so many things happen this season where we've went, aye, that sums up Celtic's season. But I honestly think we've been far too kind with a lot of that. I've heard a lot of people say, ah, well, that game pretty much summed up Celtic's season. Nah. That game was nowhere near as bad as this whole entire season has been for Celtic. I mean, to how would you simulate this season in 90 minutes? You would kick off with so much promise, and then after about 10 minutes, you'd get terrible, absolutely worse, concede two goals within about half an hour, and then just before halftime, completely chuck it and throw in the reserves. That's probably how you could culminate this season in one match.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, this game, I had a load of things I noticed about this game were that we've talked a lot about how the confidence of this team is just completely broken and has been for a long time. And we've also had the discussion that basically the club as a whole from top to bottom just basically chucked it months ago. But what I've noticed about this Hibs game is that another load of chances created, but I feel like the easier the chance, the more nervous these players get. So everyone's perfectly happy scalping one for 40 yards because there's diminished responsibility there. If you hit a shot for 40 yards, it's kind of like, it's worth a go, worth a dig, even though there's very little chance it's going to go in. But there was one with Elianoussi, and I thought, that's happened so much this season. He was clean through, and it was like a wee stutter step. He took a crap touch, and all of a sudden the keeper had just conversed on him and snuffed it out. I thought, that's been happening so much recently.
But is it nerves, Melly, when things don't matter? Is it nerves, or is it? I'm inclined to think now it's no nerves. It's like I might as well try something else because there's no pressure, there's no impetus to actually perform well. I mean, that game was almost Hibs. I don't want to say reserves. That's been unkind, but it was a Hibs second string.
Yeah, I don't know if it's nerves. I think it's just the sort of culmination of the season when players aren't playing well. It just feeds into everything. You second guess everything. There's not a player in Celtic's squad right now, you can go, he's bang on form, he's banging them in. Every player, Odson Edouard during the week against St Johnstone, an absolute peachy goal, great touch and finish. Then at the weekend, he just looks like a completely different player who can't hit anything. It's just it's, the whole season just feeds into it. Everybody's scared because at the back, we think we're going to concede up front. We're worried because we're missing all these chances, and it just feeds into the whole squad, and they've just been abject. And again, it was just one of those games that, look, lads, let's just get it out of the way. And it was very disappointing again, but especially after the St Johnstone game where Celtic played pretty well, then they went and changed the team again. It's just infuriating all round.
17 chances in that game, 9 shots on target, ended 0-0. There was a lot, obviously, made of Scott Brown's final game against St Johnstone. We dedicated our live preview show to that. If you want to go and check that out, it's on our YouTube channel, so just search 20 Minute Tims on YouTube. You'll see the video there, and it's pretty much us three and the listeners and the patrons all discussing Scott Brown's career, his final game, and our thoughts on his contribution to Celtic. We've covered that on that. We covered it, Stephen, on the Flagship podcast. Yeah. I think it would be stretching the old content a little thin to dedicate yet another third or fourth podcast to the end of Scott Brown's Celtic career, but I think it's probably worth discussing, don't you think? There might be another couple of players coming to the end of their Celtic careers that played against Hibs.
Well, this is where the party kicks in. This is a party atmosphere, guys. This is, we came here announcing good news that the season's over, but even better news that some of these players are gone. They're out
you
of a life.
John Joe Kenny?
Oh, by the way, it's funny you should mention John Joe Kenny, just apropos of nothing here, just today before we sat down to record this.
I know what you're going to say.
We were contacted yes, by an Everton blog. I can't remember the name of it. Please forgive me if you're listening. But Mersey Blues, I think you're right, actually. Seems legit. They've got over 20,000 followers and all that. So it's a proper Everton fan blog thing. And they contacted us to fill in a questionnaire on... They're doing a thing about their loan players that are out. Fill in a questionnaire on John Joe Kenny. And I was just like, look, mate, pre-warning here, I will do it. We'll happily do it. We'll probably fight over that. Melly's clearing his schedule as we speak here. But it will not go how you want it to go. And again, it was like, I gathered from some of the Twitter stuff that he's not doing particularly well up there. I'm like, no.
I was saying this on the reaction at the weekend with Tom. Yes, Shane Duffy has been a disaster. He's had some horrendous mistakes in there. But I have never seen a player like John Joe Kenny come in. And for the sort of pedigree, he's played in Germany, he's played in English top flight, to come in. And one of the questions on it was, what are his strengths, weaknesses? I'm like, well, I can't see any strengths whatsoever. And that's me being blatantly honest. I can't see anything that guy done. And look, he's been here since January, so that's a lot of games. He's played in every game possible, and he's been terrible in nearly every single one. And I don't mean like just a throwaway terrible. He has been terrible. Nothing good about him. Nothing good going forward. Nothing good at the back. He's just honestly one of the worst players I've ever seen at Celtic, and we have seen some absolute dross over the years. You can go back and name them all, but John Joe Kenny will firmly be my right back in the worst Celtic team I have ever seen. He is absolutely shocking, an absolutely gutless player that I cannot believe is a professional. I can't see where he's going to go next.
Well, if his intention was to come up here and make history, then mission accomplished, let's face it. He is now Melly's least favourite Celtic player of all time. So that's something. That's something he'd put on the CV.
The issue with John Joe Kenny is, right, he's almost to me looked like a player who we've loaned, who's played his whole career at, say, centre mid, and we've just forced him to play right back. Because he's, as you say, he's so good. He seems to have none of the attributes that are required to be a professional footballer playing at right back. He doesn't have a trick. He's not particularly pacey. He can't take a man on. He can't defend. And he can't cross. So you're looking at this going, are you sure you're a right back? Have we signed the wrong guy? Have we made a mistake somewhere along the lines? I will be very, very glad to see the back of John Joe Kenny. And it's just indicative of the way the season has gone with John Joe Kenny. We sold Frimpong because we got a right good offer in for him. And we must have spent, you made the point a couple of weeks ago, Stephen, just filtered available players by distance, and he was the closest guy. We could get him up the road sooner than we could any other right back, because we obviously put no homework into John Joe Kenny.
Remember Neil Lennon was talking about how the attributes he admired in John Joe Kenny and all that pish as well. Absolutely. I mean, just God knows what those are. Under weaknesses, you've put football. Well, that's just your job, isn't it?
We can't even shoehorn in the office joke, which would be under strengths you've put accounts. We can't even say under strengths you've put football because he's terrible at that.
Remember that time Celtic actually did sign the wrong player? Remember there were massive, well, they didn't, but there were massive racial undertones of that. Remember they signed the wrong Bangura?
Yes. Supposedly there was two Banguras at the same club, but we actually scored the one with the better. We actually signed the one with the better scoring record at that point. I'm more really concerned, you know, John Joe Kenny can go with our best wishes, never darken our door again. I'm more concerned, though, about the likes of Edward Ayer. I think we've probably seen the last of him. Eli Nussey, probably seen the last of him. Christie. But I think a bit of a wild card is Callum McGregor. Now, I heard Callum McGregor get interviewed post-match and they were asking him about being Celtic captain next season and taking on the mantle for Scott Brown and helping with the rebuild. And he was very non-committal. Now, I'm not saying he's definitely going anywhere, but he seemed like a player who was maybe keeping his options open. And he's someone that's been linked with a move away before in the past, Callum McGregor. And I think I'm sure Brendan Rodgers' season, he was perhaps linked with a move away. Last season, he was linked with a move away. Callum McGregor's done an awful lot for Celtic. Would you be surprised, Melly, if he was perhaps looking for a move in the summer? Because, you know, this end of an era stuff that we're all talking about, end of an era, big rebuild, it doesn't just apply to us fans. There might be some players who've been at Celtic for a long time thinking, well, if there's a great exodus, I can kind of go and I won't really get the backlash that I would have maybe got if I'd went myself.
Yeah, I think Callum McGregor, for his own career, will probably think, look, I should probably go now. I've been in Scotland so long, been there, done that, and what, going to captain Celtic, yes, will be an honour, but he probably sees guys like Armstrong go down and enhance his career. But at the same time, I'm looking at Callum McGregor, like, where are you going to go, mate? Because for all Callum McGregor is a really good player for Celtic, I don't think he's going to be a really good player down in England for MD. He's not quite got the strengths of Stuart Armstrong or those types of players, and I do love Callum McGregor, but what is he, maybe 27, 28 now, looking, if the one he's been linked with most is Leicester, he's not getting anywhere near their midfield. They've got a lot better players, a lot younger players, so I think Callum McGregor probably will want to go, but I just don't know if MD will come in for him. And Callum McGregor, again, when you see players that want to go down south and that, and look, that's fine if he wants to do that, but you have to dominate games up here. You have to stand out. And then when it gets to European games, you have to dominate them and look a class above. I don't think he's ever dominated or looked a class above in any game for Celtic in Europe. And quite simply this season, he's been below par for his standards. So I just don't see him any big clubs coming in for him, to be honest.
There's no shame in the Leicester thing, but I do agree that that's over. That door's closed for him. I mean, I can see them signing him, but the Leicester midfield just now is arguably, if not the second, maybe the third best midfield in England just now, behind Man City and maybe Liverpool. In fact, they probably are the second best just now. Look at that goal Tielemans scored at the weekend there. That, those are the guys you're trying to oust from that midfield just now, and I think that's absolutely beyond them. They could maybe take him on as, you know, somebody to have around. I'm sure Callum McGregor's a cracking player to have around, but the fact is he's significantly older than guys like Tielemans and Ndidi and all that. So I don't see that being a move that's still open for him.
It will be interesting in the summer just to, you know, when we kick off that first game of the season and we have a look at the team to see who's going to be there. And obviously this is something that we're covering as part of Project Rebuild, which is a series of feature podcasts. If you check out our pinned tweet, all the information for Project Rebuild is there. There's also a trailer in this podcast feed that you listen to, or you can check out patreon.com/20minutetims. We sort of saw Barkas return to the fold for these couple of games as well. Again, never really had a great deal to do. Had a decent save, Melly, was it in the St Johnstone game?
He had a decent sort of save against Hibs, but it's another one where you're thinking, let's see what he's all about. St Johnstone and Hibs have been two of the better teams in this woeful league this year, but we didn't get to see anything from them. St Johnstone, that was their sort of second biggest game of the week, and it was Hibs' second biggest game of the week, so they rotated a bit. And again, you're coming out of these games, two clean sheets, but what did we learn from it in a Barkas sense? Because he didn't have anything to do. What he did, he was all right, but he barely had a touch. And just one of those ones, like, you're sort of in limbo with him. Does a new manager come in and give him a chance, or is it best for Celtic to sort of cut their losses if MD wants him? It's going to be a difficult one. It's another position where you go, I'm not sure about Barkas, but if you were saying in the summer to me, do you want to give him another shot or do you want to bring in another keeper? I'd probably say I want in a new keeper.
It's a tough one for Barkas, isn't it? Because he's signed a big contract, and I'm sort of the opposite from Ellie. I'd be inclined to give Barkas another crack at it. I think he's less likely to leave than anyone else, you know, the Odds and Edwards and Ayers and all that. I think we might still have Barkas next season.
Probably. It will just depend what his popularity is like back in Greece or elsewhere. I really don't know. I know there was a little bit of chat that, do you remember the Greek journalist we had on ages ago, right at the very start of the season, actually? I saw he was tweeting about how Celtic are probably looking to replace Barkas, or certainly in the market for a goalkeeper. So whether he knows something that we don't and plans are afoot to get him back up the road, I don't know. I would be disappointed to lose Barkas, not because I'm bowled over by how great a keeper he is, but just I would just regret this season for him because it just hasn't worked out. I don't know. Still don't know if he's a good keeper or not. I haven't been able to make that judgment. I know a lot of people have basically just written him off. I'm not going to argue with that. I've not got a leg to stand on when it comes to defending Barkas. He's not been great. But he's hardly played in the second half of the season, and it would just be one of those sources of regret that we never really got to properly make our minds up about him. That said, all that I've just said there about Barkas, that applies to Klamala, and I didn't care. I said that, look, just because we've not had the chance to make up our minds about him doesn't mean the staff haven't. You know, they see him all the time. They see Klamala in training. They bring him off the bench, and they've decided that it's worth cutting the losses with Klamala. So it might be the same
with
Barkas.
Do you see
that
thing about Klamala's wages? Do you see what he's getting paid at? Really? What's it called? New York City or whatever team he went to? Red Bull? Did he go Red Bulls or did he go to City?
Red Bull, I think it was, yeah.
He's getting 800 grand a year. He's on 16k a week at Red Bulls. He would have been on about 3 or 4 at Celtic. He's 5 times these wages, whatever the name for doing that is, winning the lottery. So no wonder he went. Hibs, I've got a decent keeper, Marciano. He's out of contract in the summer, Melly. Do you think he'd be one worth looking at?
Nah, to be honest. There's another one where he's looked all right when I've seen him, but again, if Celtic are going to sign a player from the league, they have to stand out and do something a bit spectacular and look like they're better than what we've got. And again, it's just going to be another guy that you'll look to replace in a year from now. He's not going to be a standout.
Of course, a Neil Lennon signer, wasn't he? Is he not a Dudu Dahan Neil Lennon signer?
Exactly what I was about to say there. Dudu will be walking into Celtic Park this summer. Yeah. All right, guys, what's happening? And then realised Neil Lennon's not here anymore.
We discussed Melly on the previous show as well, though we didn't get to see a full 90 minutes of him. Nesbitt didn't play at all, but Doig still took the market for a left-back. Another one, he's been rumoured to be leaving Hibs in the summer. I think the fee and the news in the past week or so was around about £1 million if somebody wanted to come in and sign Doig.
Yeah, I think if Doig, he's 18, he's one of those guys you think, look, 18, he's got a lot to learn, but there's already a lot there that he's got, and he's probably better than Greg Taylor, to be honest. I'm trying to get the balance between signing players from our league who are good enough and just thinking about how many players we actually need. So it might be an idea to get some guarantees in there. And I think Josh Doi could probably be a bit of a guarantee. We've seen he's had a good season with Hibs. Not been the best any time I've seen him against Celtic. So again, I need to judge him on that. But I think there's plenty for him to learn, plenty for him to do. And as I say, it's quite an easy win for Celtic. And as Stephen always says, if we're going to sign these guys, it should be through the filter of Celtic. Then they move on after that. And at 18, Josh Doig is perfect for that.
With trying to judge the suitability of these players to Celtic, there's a lot of factors involved. And one is, can we do better? You know, and it's like, are we just simply taking a look at how crap Celtic have been this season, looking across the road or across the country to Hibs and thinking, well, you know, Doig's better than Greg Taylor, Marciano's better than Barkas, Nesbitt's better than Ayeti. Yes, I'd probably agree with all of those things, but are they going to push Celtic to the next level? I don't know. But at the same
time, I agree with Stephen.
Yeah.
We're absolutely soaked down by this lack of any sort of scouting and recruitment that we're thinking, we kind of know he's good, so the club can't really fuck this one up. If they sign him, he might be decent.
I was thinking about this though as well, Melly, when you said he's better than Greg Taylor. I'm like, aye, but he's not anywhere near as good as who we've had previously.
Yeah, so that's what, the problem
it's like a sleight of hand the club can do. What they do is they have someone great and then they bring in someone absolutely terrible, and then you just accept as long as the next guy that comes in is better than whoever was terrible. So we're going to get take right back, for example. Our right back probably won't be as good as Frimpong, but it'll be better than John Joe Kenny. And everybody will be like, oh, well, he's an improvement in John Joe Kenny.
Are you saying Celtic are doing to us the famous Donald Trump art of the deal thing? Make an offer to someone that's so ridiculous that the other offer, the counter offer, will seem appealing in comparison to it. So they're saying, here's bolly, bowling, goalie, and we're all absolutely appalled by it. And they just slip in Josh Doig, like, wow. That's an absolute cracking move.
Suddenly starts to look a bit more appealing. It all really depends. Just when I said to you in the previous show, Melly, that I was a bit nervous that Celtic had been linked with anyone at the moment, really, without a manager in sight. I honestly thought it would be today. I thought it would be in the next couple of days. And, you know, there's been rumours and rumblings and even the stuff for the club. They want to get the season tickets sold. So you're thinking there's got to be a manager sometime soon. TalkSport reported last week that one of their sources says it's pretty much a done deal, but they're waiting to see what happens with Bournemouth's promotion push. They're involved in the playoffs, and there's guys for Bournemouth that we want to bring up to Celtic. But it should have been the day. It should have been. Rangers won the league, and we'll talk about that, and everything that happened at the weekend. You wipe all that off the back page by bringing in Eddie Howe today. And, you know, people like other reports close to the thing that have in the press, Stephen, have said, you know, Eddie Howe's made it clear he's not taking a job to the summer. Aye, but he might have said that when he didn't have any job offers. I don't really understand why we are being leveraged against Eddie Howe's desire to just spend some more time at home.
He's got some box sets he's working through.
He's probably started fucking 24 and said, Don McKay's like, mate, there's 24 episodes in a season. He's like, I need to finish it. I need to see what happens to Jack Bauer. But it's... I completely don't understand it anymore. I really don't. If he's more or less agreed to be Celtic manager, right, and that agreement has taken place in the last week or so, what's going on? Just get him up here, get him announced so we can all be a bit more positive about things.
I'm so utterly exhausted of seeing the words stock exchange and the time 2:30 as well. I feel like every day tomorrow it's going to be announced at 2:30 that Eddie Howe is the manager. I've no idea. I've never known really of anything that has been so certain yet never announced. It's like everyone is absolutely dead sure that this is going to happen, but we're in what, week 7 maybe of this being an imminent announcement. Eddie Howe's a done deal. It went even further this week that, as you said, TalkSport and various other outlets were reporting that it was about to be announced. It's still nothing. Still absolute silence. I'd love to know if this has ever happened anywhere else. We've seen in the past managers announced in advance. Do you remember Alex McLeish was still the Rangers manager when basically everybody knew Paul Le Guin was going to take over there?
Steven Gerrard
had been announced well in advance as well. But have you ever seen anything like this where everybody knows it's about to happen, on the verge of happening, but there's been no official word anywhere at all, and it has dragged on for the better part of 2 months? I've honestly never experienced it.
that can happen is the old TMT curse. Every time we come on and we make a podcast like this, the very next day the manager gets announced. And if that happens, by the way, we will have a reaction on the Patreon to the announcement of Celtic's new manager. But Melly, I just don't understand. I genuinely cannot think for the life of me why this has not been announced yet. Why we're being... So say the prospect is right, we're holding off because Mr. X has got a contract with Bournemouth and he wants to wait until... He sees what's happening with Bournemouth before he makes his mind up on Celtic, or he wants to give his full focus to Bournemouth before he signs on the dotted line with Celtic. Right, fine. How does that affect Eddie Howe? Is Eddie Howe saying, well, if that guy decides to stay with Bournemouth, I'm not coming to Celtic? Celtic can't even run a business like that.
No, I don't think... I think it will be the latter, what you said, that the whoever he's wanting to bring with him will be wanting to concentrate on Bournemouth, and that's fine. Like, Celtic are in a shit show this season. It's no Bournemouth's fault.
How difficult is it for somebody to say, yeah, I'll come to Celtic though? That's really all we're asking the guy.
But it's the whole thing's just because of this season. It's been such a terrible season. We want this sorted now, and it doesn't really work like that all the time, and that's Celtic's fault. They deserve everything they get after this season. But I think it will just be a case of get this. I'm starting to lose patience a bit as well. If it doesn't happen this week, I will really start to lose patience because all the excuses are pretty much gone now. The season's over. What else can be happening here? It has to be happening this week for me. Within the next week, Celtic need a new manager in, because I've said I've been calm, I've been patient, but now the season's over. We need to start getting things in motion now. And look, you can't be going into nearly June without having putting season tickets on sale. It's utterly shambolic.
I imagine where would Celtic be if it isn't Eddie Howe? Honestly, because I've not even been linked to anyone else apart from Roy Keane about 10 weeks ago, it seems like. But Bournemouth are playing tonight, so we might know a wee bit more soon there than the playoff semi-final, is it, against Brentford. Part of me would actually like to see Brentford go up just to see Ivan Toney inevitably score about 18 or 19 goals in the Premier League next season. Further rubbing that in.
We'll never hear the end of that. Never ever. I'm surprised it's been so quiet. We'll never hear. Maybe we could go back in for him. You know, another whatever it would cost us now, 30, 40 million quid to try and get him up. I suppose the another reason that the season tickets have been delayed as well is because they need to work out this added value thing, this extra value, or whatever they were going to call it. People are apoplectic about this, and rightly so. You know, everyone's got their own, look, it's your own money, do whatever you want with it, right? And everyone's got their own personal preference of what they do with the money. I bought my season ticket, as I always do, and I kind of bought it expecting the worst, being not seeing any football. And when I was told about the added value or extra value stuff, I really wasn't sure what that would shape that would take. You know, I didn't really know what to expect, but the club did promise me something. So they need to come up with something. Other way, obviously, they're giving all their fans free season tickets, which I don't think Celtic could possibly do. I had a wee look. Motherwell sold somewhere in the region of 3,000 season books. They would hope to probably recoup that in goodwill by another 3,000 people who buy them, or people who want to buy their season tickets to support the club. It's an entirely different enterprise. But they need to resolve this, don't they, Stephen? The club need to come up with some sort of package. And there was a supporters meeting recently, which incidentally, the supporters meeting was called at very, very short notice, which is unlike these things. Usually they're called a couple of weeks in advance. Apparently this one was only called, this fans forum was called a couple of days in advance, which also leads me to believe that Celtic are working on something manager related in the next couple of days. But they called this fans forum. By all accounts, people weren't really given anything concrete. It didn't look like the club had any ideas. They need to give people something on this added value, don't they, Stephen? And what does it look like to you? Is it a discounted season ticket? Is it a card to get you discount at the shop? Is it money back? Is it shares? What does extra value look like to you?
To be honest, any and all of that, or you know, whatever. The fact is, they need to just get this done and get it over with and get it finished, get the matter closed. It's like this. It's like the January review now as well. It dragged on and on and on. People kept going, "Where's this January review?" And they didn't have a clue what they were doing. They just said it. They just threw it out there. It's a discussion we've had a number of times about this added value thing. They have to, whatever it is, decide what the hell it is and say either we've already had it or we're going to get it. And I don't care what it is now. They just need to close off this additional sorry episode in this season. Just close the subject, whatever it is, because it could mean quite literally anything and also nothing really as well, because we've had the discussion about how the Pasta Paradise probably contained what they would consider added value. Mm. They probably think Gordon Strachan's brilliant, right? So we're just going to throw this at them. Connie McLaughlin, all these people, fine, right? But they've probably
To be a dick advocate here, all these people have been paid. You know, the Pasta Paradise was a different product from Celtic TV. Essentially, it was a different product.
Yeah, exactly. So that's probably what they think the added value is, and it's been latched onto, and people are out for blood now. People are probably wanting free season tickets. Motherwell have rolled a grenade in there.
Absolute clean shots, aren't they?
Absolutely clean shots that they are.
Motherwell, teachers' pets, goody two-shoes. I mean, it was a brilliant gesture. It was, joking aside, it's a brilliant gesture for Motherwell to give all their fans a free season ticket. But it's just... If Celtic pulled that off, it would be extraordinary. I'm doing the maths in my head. I just don't think Celtic could ever afford to do that.
no chance. And that would, we often make this joke, right? We talk about how like any slight, tiny bump in the revenue and the turnover, and we're like, oh, we can't afford a right back now. Oh, we sold three fewer pies this week, can't afford a right back. But if we all took free season tickets, what would the transfer kitty look like for next season? So we better be careful what we wish for there. But it's got to be something. Just geez, anything, whatever, right? A voucher for something, 5% off in the store for all I care.
You're doing that with the deal again. They're Donald Trump. They're doing it with the right backs, they're doing it with the left backs, and they're doing it with this added value. They're waiting till everyone's get so pissed off, they're going to give you a voucher for a free pie and a bovril at the first home game. And you're like, oh, thank God.
Basically, I would take that just have people shut up about this added value. You know, I just want the subject closed. Aye, just give us anything. Or
Melvin.
Or give us nothing and tell us to be happy about it.
Yeah. Aye, tell us to shut up about it. Melvin, what does added value look like to you?
I'm struggling to care anymore. I just want a manager. I want things sorted and see if Celtic had sorted themselves out. I don't think it'd be as big a deal, but the fact that the club have been a shambles on and off the pitch, the lack of communication, treating us like... not even customers anymore, because at least your customer's always right. Exactly, but they've just went, ugh, the customer can't even speak to now, so just don't look at Twitter and we'll be fine. But everybody's baying for blood, as you said, and rightly so. They said, we'll give you something, they've not delivered. Celtic really, really need to deliver with this management and a sort of plan going forward, because we've asked for some sort of communication, we've had wee bits here and there, but we always come away from it saying, that told us absolutely nothing. Mm. Added value, what we're getting? Nothing. January review, what did we get? Pretty much nothing. Don McKay coming out with the fans forum, are we any better off or worse off after hearing what he had to say? No, so we need to hear something and we need to get things going quickly. With the added value thing, see if they got Eddie Howe and whatever they need and say we're going to go and back him in the transfer market. I'd be happy with that. They've just beat me down so low that I'm just happy to take anything now.
Again, they are the deal. They are the absolute masters, Celtic.
They've absolutely trumped us here with this. It's, there's a long, long list. What's that? I've got a to-do list longer than a fucking Leonard Cohen song. That line from the thick of it. That's what Don McKay's got here.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let's talk more positively about something, right? Let's talk more positively about something. The Celtic Player of the Year Awards was announced. It was put to a vote. Fans voted for it. David Turnbull scooped both awards. Let's be real, though. Chris Ayer's a Player of the Year, isn't he? I mean, David Turnbull might be the people's champion here, but that award really belongs to Christopher Ayer, and young Player of the Year is David Turnbull. That's the way it goes.
He get Players' Player of the Year, didn't he?
Yeah, quite often the more yes, telling Chris one Ayer is the
did get his
one,
teammates'
yeah.
Player of the Year. And yeah. Guys, come on, let's be real.
Ayer's definitely in with a shout of it. Ayer has been there for better or worse. He's been there for all of it. He's played pretty much every game this season, as far as I can remember. Turnbull, I don't think it's not that controversial, because see, if he'd come in and played 12 games and get voted Player of the Year, I might have thought, oh, fans are at it here. They're basically just showing their disdain for this season. They've voted a guy who barely played. But in fairness, Turnbull eventually, I know he didn't come into the team straight away, but he eventually played over 30 games. He played over 30 games and scored 9 or 10 goals for Celtic. Mm. So it's not that controversial that he was Player of the Year. We've seen it before with Robbie Keane, rather, having won it for the second half of the season because he was brilliant. Turnbull played more than that and might not have had the same contribution as Robbie Keane, but he definitely was a bright spark in this turgid season. So
speaking of sparks, though, Stephen, to be fair, because you've just you've lined up a joke I was going to make. To be fair to Christopher Ayer, though, he played a lot of his games beside Shane Duffy, which is the equivalent of being handed a lit firework and you've no idea when it's about to go off. I mean, how do you keep yourself composed when you've got that guy beside you waiting for the next shenanigan to take place? You know, that would have definitely affected Christopher Ayer's performance.
I think Ayer has been decent, but again, it's just, it's Celtic all over this season. Has he been the best player, or has he been the least bad player? That's the question you've got to answer. And when you're looking at it again, what Christopher Ayer, what is he, 23, 24? And we've got him in a back line with Stephen Welsh, Scott Bain behind him, and two utterly dreadful fullbacks, and go, here, mate, see how you're only 23, 24? You're a senior player in there. Right. You sort all this out. It's just absolutely disastrous to think going into this season how Celtic were going for 10, a pure momentous historic season, and look at the back line we've ended up, the back five, whether it be Barkas or Bain, you've got no confidence whatsoever. Taylor or Laxalt, no confidence. The right back, Kenny, I've already said how bad he is, and you've got a young guy, Stephen Welsh, who prior to this season had started one game, and we are telling Christopher Ayer, you go in and sort that out, mate. It's been a tough task for him, but he has been the best player back there, and I think he will go on to have a decent career, but Celtic have just let him down as well. And look, he's let Celtic down a good few times, but just not as much as anybody else.
And see, for the last time, I don't want to have to tell anybody this again, for the last time, Christopher Ayer, and I'm sorry, trigger warning for everyone out there, Christopher Ayer's a centre-half. Full stop. He's not a defensive midfielder. He's not a midfielder. Some of the things we get tweeted, he'd be better at central midfield. He'd be better. Why are we playing a central midfielder at centre half? He's not a central midfielder. He's a centre half. He's not right back. He's a centre half. He's not a defensive midfielder. He's a centre half. Christopher Ayer, Stephen, for the last time on this podcast, is a centre half, isn't he?
Look, you can have an opinion on whether he's suited to centre half or whether he is indeed either a good or bad centre half. But yes, he is definitely a centre half. He's not kicked a ball in midfield since he was about 16. I don't know. It's one of those things that I feel has just been latched onto. John Kennedy's a defensive coach. Lee Griffiths is the best striker in the country. You know, all these things that people just latch onto and just refuse to let go of. He's definitely a centre-half. He plays there all the time for Celtic. He's been there for about 4 seasons for Celtic. He played there for Kilmarnock. He plays for Norway at centre-half. That's definitely what he is. Some of the best defenders of all time converted to centre-half from something else. And it never really follows them around to the extent that it does with Christopher Ayer. Now, that's maybe a failing on his part. If he was Rio Ferdinand, if he was Fabio Cannavaro, if he was someone else who had played in midfield and been moved back, maybe people would shut up about it and think, well, he's a brilliant centre-half, maybe. But the fact is, there's just no point in latching on to this flimsy logic anymore. He's a centre half. You can think he's a bad centre half, fine, but he's never a midfielder.
He was definitely my player of the year, but I can understand, Melly, as you say, David Turnbull winning least bad player of the year, 2021. look, I forgot how much, and I'm just going to commit with it, I forgot how much I hated seeing Rangers win the league. Forgot how much I hated it. And we're not even talking about the fans, we're talking about the rotten players, the trophy at Ibrox, even their... Look, I'm a petty man, right? There is just something so tacky about red, white and blue. It's repulsive to me, seeing red, white and blue.
It's the flag, it's the butcher's apron, and it just triggers something deep down.
There's that, Stephen. But see the red, white and blue, just the primary colours, red, white and blue. I don't know if they are primary colours, but who knows, right? That just screams to me Sports Direct. That screams to me Sports Direct mug. That's what that is. And that's what their whole trophy thing reeked of. And I'm repulsed by it. And then their fans, the most obvious thing in the world, Stephen, I think you tweeted from our account something along the lines of, what was it? They're completely incapable of not being raging. What was it?
I can't remember exactly. Was completely incapable of celebrating without being raging. Because, I mean, like, football fans get angry. It's been thrown back at Celtic fans that used through a fence at a bus or whatever the hell it was. But the entire point of that was that it was a protest, and protests, by their very nature, by definition, are about anger, about making a point in anger. It doesn't matter if it goes too far or anything like that, right? That's not the point I'm trying to make, but a protest is, by its very nature, angry. Why is your celebration angry? Why are you so happy you're raging? Why? Oh, we've won the league. I'm heavy raging.
Smashing each other's heads in with balls.
Gotta go and jump in each other's heads. That's exactly what we are planning to do. This is our end of season party. So we're all going to absolutely batter our heads in after this. After this, get pissed up and bottle each other.
10 years, Melly, just about, we've won everything. No once have we done that. No once. Not even came close.
No, not at all. And I think I always say there's two levels. There's Huns and there's Rangers fans. And like, we know what they're like. And again, going back to it, at the weekend, you could knew it was coming. Every single person out there would go, there'll be trouble tonight. Why is that? Because we know what's going to happen. A club built on hate, it's the only thing they know. The only thing they know is anger. Even when they're celebrating, it has to be anger. And it has to be something done about it. Now, those are shameful, shameful scenes. And it's not the minority. It's not a small... And this happens every time they go out and do this. Every time. It happened a few weeks ago. It happened during lockdown with a stupid statue shagging as well. It's hatred and anti-Catholic bigotry. And people are just scared to say it. They just go, it's just this, that, pandering to it. The SFA pandered to it. I think the government sort of pandered to it as if it's just a small bunch. No, it's not. It's probably the majority of them.
It's mental. In 2021, you've got people whose pastime is rampaging through the streets talking about hating Catholics, and we just don't have anyone seemingly in government or in the football association. Just, Steve, they just come out. They just should come out and call it what it is. And the longer they say these aren't football fans,
I've just shifted my seat there.
The cop out of all cop outs. The SFA and Rangers, they're not real fans. No. What you're doing is you're absolving them. What you're saying is, when you say they're no football fans, what you're saying is there's absolutely nothing we can do about this problem because those people aren't football fans. Well, what you need to say is, how the fuck do we solve this problem? Because these are football fans.
See the football fans thing? They're not football fans. I hate that, right?
And they're not Rangers fans.
I hate it on any side. See, whenever that is dragged up, whether it's Chelsea, whether it's, I don't know, some racist Russian team or whatever the case it is, right? Do you know, one of these things that comes along in some vile fan group just misbehaves. Oh, these guys aren't real football fans. And the latest one is Rangers there. That is the only thing we know about them. That is literally the only thing that is not a variable. It is not an unknown. They are football fans. That's the only reason we're talking about them. It's the one thing, the single detail that links all of them. Everyone in that crowd was a football fan. There's no getting away from it. Apart from the football gear, the songs, spending all their time and money on football, the season tickets. Apart from that, these guys are not football fans.
Where they had, you know, how they have like, they have the pin board and then they have all the pictures and the red string, right? You would sit down and the start of this investigation would be, right, what do we know? And at the centre of that would be Rangers fans. That's exactly.
Yeah.
Before a piece of string is put anywhere, before there's another picture pinned up to that board, the centre would be Rangers fans. Okay, what else do we know? And do you know what? It's always Rangers fans. It is always Rangers fans. And the reason it's always Rangers fans is because when they do it, they get let off with it.
Yeah,
and it's that simple. They have not been punished. They were punished by UEFA and their stadium was closed for racist chanting. They then come out and have this big Glenn Kamara, weird anti-racism thing. And I said at the time, I'm so glad to see Rangers take a stand against racism. And I said on this podcast, because it's going to come and bite them in the arse. Now, Rangers fans have been on video all weekend singing racist songs, racist chants directed towards Irish Catholics.
That's the problem, isn't it? It's always sectarian chants. Instead of just coming out and saying it's racist chants, it will always be, it's sectarian, that's not quite as bad, is it? But whereas anywhere else we'd go, that's racist, and call it for what it is, we pander to it and go, it's just sectarian, it's part of the culture.
I've made up a special word for it here in Scotland, we call it sectarian. But Rangers should be right out, just like the Derby Glen Kamara, right out and condemning this, instead of this mealy-mouthed pish. But obviously, you can't do that, because that's their customers.
Yeah, and the easiest thing in the world as well would be to listen to this and look at us, our reaction to this, and be like, sour grapes, yous are gutted, yous are heavy raging that this Rangers have won the league.
It
won the league months ago. It won the league about 6 months ago. I don't care about that. It's, we're specifically mentioning that carry on Saturday night, which was an absolute disgrace. I've not got any sour grapes about losing the league anymore. I came to terms with that a long time ago. It's just that absolute fiasco we saw once again. It's every few weeks, it seems like now as well.
I'm glad it's over, but there was a video circulating on social media supposedly about the players singing Sweet Caroline with the line fuck the Pope in it or whatever. Rangers have come out and said that this video has been doctored, which is, you're laughing. Look, super easy to clear this up. Rangers just shows the original. Whoever filmed it will have the original. So just shows it. If it's been doctored, this could be cleared up by the time this podcast's out. They'll go, here's the original. So what we'll do is we'll just leave that there, because Rangers will undoubtedly be at pains to release the original video. And the video does show guys like sticking the middle finger up and giving the Vickies at the particular point where it is rumoured that they've sang fuck the Pope. Might be sheer coincidence. And, you know, I heard from a wee mouse that told me that Alan McGregor had a lovely party at his house. And there was, you know, everything was above board there as well. The songs were all above board at Alan McGregor's bit. You couldn't hear them from the street at Alan McGregor's bit, apparently. So that's the Huns. Now, there's only one thing left to do for this season, Stephen, this end of season. Every season, when the season kicks off, and it's become a bit of a speciality for me, I must say, and become no bad at it. We sit down and we... a clock is right once a season, Mel, is that what you're saying? we state our bold predictions. This has become a 20-minute Tim's tradition. Every season we sit down, we have bold predictions. We also pick our young player and player of the year who we think is going to win these things. Now, I'm going to run through them, give you guys an opportunity to react.
You opening the envelope? Are you opening the glittery envelope right now?
No, it's not glittery. It's Brendan Rodgers' envelope where he wrote down three names of people that were going to disappoint him. So, Melly, your bold predictions, as predicted back in August, for young player of the year, which we will start with, was Jeremy Frimpong. Right? Stephen, your young player of the year prediction, David Turnbull.
Oh, there we go. That's one on the board. I'm happy now. I'm not going home empty-handed. I've got one on the board.
And my young player of the year was Frimpong. Nobody picked player of the year, Stephen. You picked McGregor. I picked Edward for player of the year. Melly, however. Martin Melly, football expert, brains of 20-minute Tim's, football Celtic Rain Man, knows his stuff. How many coaching courses have you been on, Melly? How many hours of coaching? Hundreds of hours of coaching.
Too many to name, mate. Too many to name.
You know a player when you see one. Who did you think was going to be Celtic's player of the year?
Mr. Shane Duffy. Thank you.
Shane Duffy.
Shane Duffy.
Player of the year. Right, okay. Stephen.
Yes.
Right, here's your bold predictions from the beginning of the season.
I can't lose now. At least I can't lose. I can't come bottom of this table.
Shane Duffy to win player. Right, here we go.
Yes.
Celtic to blow the chance to win the league at Celtic Park. Now, losing the first Glasgow derby at Celtic Park might have been that We just didn't realise at the time.
Yeah. Because
I don't think we were ever top of the league after that point. No.
My thoughts there were that they were going to channel 1998, basically. So my prediction was that we were going to blow the chance to win the league away from home by maybe dropping a wee draw and then get the chance to bring it back to Celtic Park with the fans on board and everything and win it there, win it at home. Oh, that was my idea there. But no, I think we can possibly... I don't know, give me a half point for that, maybe.
Okay, well, we could be technically correct. You also had a Shane Duffy bold prediction. It was Shane Duffy to score against Rangers and to outscore James Forrest.
Do you know what? I'm not mad at that. That was quite close, wasn't it? I think he got two, James Forrest got four, maybe. It wasn't too bad.
Stephen, your final bold prediction was Stephen Gerrard to win 5 Manager of the Month awards, but not Manager of the Year.
Right, okay.
Which, I don't know how many Manager of the Month awards. In fact, it might be the opposite. Did he only win one? Did he win 2 Manager of the Month? But he definitely won Manager of the Year.
He won 4. He won 4 Manager of the Month and then won the Manager of the Season as well. So not too bad. I was obviously very optimistic there that he would be lionised by the award givers, the award bods, but still Celtic would win the league. But there we are.
Melly. Your bold predictions, fucking hell. Wait, hear this one, right? By the way, just for the benefit of the listeners, we've not rehearsed this, so the guys can't really remember their bold predictions. It's me just revisiting them back. Melly, you predicted that Edward and Albin Ayeti would get how many goals between them?
I have no idea.
53?
How many was it in total? Like 21 or something like that. Probably about 25.
Oh, right, okay. You also predicted that. You'll get half a point here because you said Klamala and Soro will head back out on loan. Now, Klamala left the club, so I'll give you half a point that. You also said that Brendan Rodgers would be back at Celtic Park in one form or another. No, he didn't. If I can remember, I don't think
he did. Party, the 10 in a row party, Brendan Rodgers will be back on the pitch.
Or it was the Europa League or something, Melly, wasn't it?
Right. It would be half decent, which they weren't.
Right, okay, my bold predictions. Here we go. No Celtic player or manager will win any of the Player of the Year awards now.
Very close.
Very close. Odds on Edward to have his highest scoring year. As a Celtic player, I think that was last season, wasn't it, Melly? He didn't beat last season's total. Yeah. And Neil Lennon's last season as Celtic manager, as predicted at the beginning of the year now, admittedly, Melly. So that wasn't bold, because my logic here was, if he wins the 10, he's going to go. If he loses the 10, he has to go. So that was a bit of a win-win for me. So that's the bold predictions now. This isn't the last flagship podcast of the season. We will be back with the flagship podcast when Celtic make a managerial announcement. We will release a flagship podcast the following Monday, whenever that might be. Might be next Monday. Hope it's next Monday. The coverage will continue on Patreon throughout the closed season with Project Rebuild, Scouting, the O'Neill Hears, the Pub Quiz. We're going to be doing stuff for the Euros. We're going to launch a whole summer programme. That'll be released in the next week or so for you guys. If you want to check that out, patreon.com/20minutetimes. And look, if you just like what we do on the Monday podcast and you just want to support us a little bit and you're not too fussed about the extra content, which a lot of people do, patreon.com/20minutetimes. You can support us from about £2 a month on there if you want to help us keep the wheels rolling on this here flagship. Ships don't have wheels, Stephen.
No, they do not. If they did, ours would have come off long ago, going by this season. But I suppose this is the final proper flagship of the season, in that we were vaguely talking about football in there somewhere. That's all closed. The book on that is closed. Thankfully, I've hired a mariachi band to party now that we're finally
before the band kicks in, though, Stephen. I've just, Millie gives a good idea there. I was just thinking, why don't we just pick not the best moment of the season, but the one moment where it all went tits up?
The most ridiculous one? Which of all the ridiculous ones, and there was a lot of ridiculous ones, would you say is the most ridiculous one? It's a hard shoot, that
did
one.
Did I imagine this, right? Because there's been so much happened this season. Or was there basically a huge groundswell of opinion that Neil Lennon should have been sacked, but the board came out with a statement and backed him when it was the most obvious thing in the world that he was a failing football manager? Did that happen? Or did that was part, was that a nightmare?
That was around the same time where they said the season wasn't an unmitigated disaster, was it?
Yes. That for me was probably the most ridiculous, when it was so obvious to everybody that Neil Lennon should have been relieved of his duties. The board came out and backed the man, and it cost us the league. So that for me is probably, that's it. That's the captain of the Titanic ignoring the iceberg.
I'd love to have the discussion now, because, you know, now everything, there's nothing left. The football is over. So 25 points behind in the league, out of every competition at near enough the first go, either the first or second round, and pretty much everything we entered, out of the league by pretty much like November or something like that, and then eventually 25 points clear. Still got, hanging on to the old mitigation here, mitigating circumstances, we're still fine, not a disaster.
Melly, what was the moment for you that was the worst of all this season?
There's so many, and just the one that sticks out is Dubai. To go to Dubai during a global pandemic, 19 points behind your biggest rivals, and then for it to come out, oh, Christopher Julian's caught the coronavirus. And for me personally to think, oh, that's fine, he's injured, he won't be there. No. Celtic brought an injured player to Dubai for whatever reason, and that was it. And just after that, it just went from disaster to unbelievable disaster after unbelievable disaster, even to the point where Peter Law had to come out and pretend he was apologising at his heated desk. It was utterly shameful, man.
Stephen.
Not only was Christopher Julian injured, he was on crutches. Remember the picture of him trying to get down the stairs at the airport and all that? So he was on wooden legs. It was just incredible. And then it is Dubai.
The picture of Lennon and Scott Brown sitting there straight away, pint.
I said at the time that picture of the two of them was going to exist as a monument to the failure of this season for all time now.
You said that at the time,
huh? Yeah, and it pretty much has. That is the moment. It's not the moment that things first went off the rails. Of course it wasn't. We'd already, you know, pretty much chucked the league in long before the winter break. Or it wasn't even really what a winter break was. Mm. It was just they managed to squeeze in a trip to Dubai despite the fact there wasn't a winter break. But that was that's always the moment that's going to sum it up for this season, is Dubai and the absolute catastrophe that came off the back of that, and the optics of it, or the bevy and all that, and pictures of them. There was a picture of Shane Duffy with what looked like about four empty pint glasses piled up beside him. Remember the pictures of them indoors as well? And I was like, that's the silliest moment of the season for me.
Well, we get beat 4-1 on three separate occasions this season.
Rangers and Sparta practice. Sparta.
And those, amazing. For me, those Sparta games are the worst results probably of the season. That was abject. That was absolutely abject. And
I'd have taken abject. That was worse.
I couldn't think of a word worse than abject.
Neither could Melly.
Right. And on that, listen. We just want to say thank you to you guys. Thank you so much for sticking with us this season. We know Celtic has been an absolute chore. We really appreciate all your support, particularly to the people who support us on Patreon and allow us to cover Celtic in all the various and many and varied ways that we do. We really, really appreciate it. And we're so thankful for everyone on Patreon and everyone who's not on Patreon. If you retweet us or you leave us a review or in any way that you support the podcast, we see it and we are very, very thankful for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly what I started saying, but before we kind of branched into it, I'm glad we did though. I'm glad we detoured into the moments of the season. But I was just about to say that, yeah, we're extremely grateful for all the support this season. It has not been easy. It has not been easy at all. It's not been easy to turn up every week and sit in these chairs and basically say the same thing for about 4 months solid. But we got there eventually. Looks like we've made it to the end, as Blur once said. So it's finally over, and just a genuine thanks to everyone who's listened, because, you know, I wouldn't have blamed anyone for just drifting away from Celtic altogether this season, just thinking, I'm going to ignore it and hope everything turns out all right next season.
Yeah, obviously I'd like to extend my thanks as well. It's been the toughest, and I just think it has been the worst season ever. It has been so bad, and because of social media and that, it's just constant. You're constantly entrenched in it, but at the same time, you're sort of getting each other through it, aren't you? It's just you have to get through us. We have to get to the end.
It couldn't have been worse.
It literally couldn't. Keep the manager on for so long, 25 points, Dubai, everything. But we've made it to the end, and we're thankful for everybody's support.
We went through every phase as well together. Oh, all of us. Like, I'm not talking about us three, but us three, of course, and the extended 20-minute Tim's family. Mm. all the screaming 20-maniacs worldwide, brother. We went through the phases where it was gallows humour. It was that first, you know, when things start going really badly. As a football fan, there's that kind of shared, oh, this is murder, isn't it? Then you can have a wee joke about it. And it went so beyond that, it was unbelievable. It just became abject misery. There's another appearance for that word. It became so bad, then it got funny again, and then it was terrible, and then it was terrible, and then it was worse, and here we are. Here we are at the end. So, yeah, we got there together.
And on that bombshell, we will end. Thank you so much for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.